Father, we are grateful for the Sabbath. We are grateful for your blessings that you poured on us. We are grateful for your holy manna that you fed us. And we are grateful for this time that we can come together in your name. We want your presence, your guidance in our thoughts and our words. Help us to know ourselves in your life. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, as you can see, today I want to take the reading from Extreme Devotions.
Yeah.
I take two of them, but I want to concentrate on the one that is called Romania, Pastor Richard Rembrandt. Yeah? Let me...
Which one is that, the first or the second one?
Okay, it doesn't allow me to share. Okay, do you have the texts with you? Because I can't put it on my screen for some reason, I don't know why.
James 4 verse 2.
Hold on. Have I got your login or am I logged in as me?
Okay, try them.
Let me see.
Anyway, I think I'm the host anyway.
You are the host, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let me do it this way. One second.
Yeah, you are the host.
Yeah. Let me do it this way. It will work. Yeah, it's working. Okay.
There you are.
Yeah. Okay. So this... this text is a witnessing of a pastor from Romania. I want to give a little bit of his biography, his history, before reading this this testimony. So, Pastor Richard Rembrandt, his real name is Nicolae Ionescu, he's Romanian evangelical Lutheran priest, and he's professor and has Jewish, he's Jewish descendant. He lived in the times when Romania was under communist regime. So he publicly said that communism and Christianity were incompatible, and for that he was in prison. Also, he rescued Jewish people during World War I. He was imprisoned and tortured by Romanian government for 14 years, and he was ransomed for $10,000 by people from Norway, I think, if I'm correct. And when he was released, his friends and his church people saying that he should leave Romania and go somewhere in other countries where he will freely could speak about a religion, about Christianity. He spent some time in Norway and England, and later he moved to USA with his wife. His wife also was imprisoned for the Christianity. So rest of his and his wife's life was dedicated to publicly talk and help Christians who are persecuted for their faith, for their belief. And Richard Rembrandt was the founder of a non-profit interdenominational International Christian Ministry. And it's called Voice of Martyrs. Is this book is one of testimonies that they collected during when they were in USA. Okay, so this is what I wanted to read a little bit. And now about this testimony, I found some material about his. So this testimony that we will read is from the first prison imprisonment, because he was imprisoned twice. First time he was imprisoned for 8 years, and later on for another 8 years. So while he was in prison in first time, let me read what he was saying. So he was in solitary confinement, where the confinement was in the cell 12 feet underground, with no lights or windows. There was no sound, because even the guards were felt on the soles of their shoes. He later announced that he maintained his sanity by sleeping during the day, staying awake at night, and exercising his mind and soul by composing and then delivering a sermon each night. Due to his extraordinary memory, he was able to recall more than 350 of those and selected in a book called With God in Solitary Confinement. And during part of this time, he communicated with other inmates by tapping out Morse code on the wall. In this way, he continued to be sunlight to fellow inmates rather than dwell on the lack of physical light. And that's what he wanted to tell. Okay, shall I start reading then?
Okay.
Noli, would you like to start?
The first one, yeah?
Yeah.
Even when Romanian pastor Richard Wurmbrand was placed in solitary prison cells, devoid of light and sound, he continued to preach to an unseen audience. After his miraculous release from prison and his eventual migration to the United States, Pastor Wurmbrand wrote several books describing his prison experience and the sermon that he composed and memorized while in solitary confinement. After a few years, he received this letter.
Okay, Hilma, would you like to read the other two paragraphs?
Okay. Dear Pastor Wurmbrand, I was raised in a godly home, but I strayed and eventually ended up in prison here in Canada. I wanted to return to God, but didn't know how, so I prayed, God, if somewhere in the world there is another lonely prisoner who knows you, please bring me his thoughts. I heard an inner voice telling me to sit quietly and confidently, and that God would reach me. Miraculously, night after night, I began hearing a kind of sermon that seemed to come from far away. I repented, and after my release from prison, I ran across your book, Sermons in Solitary Confinement, in a Christian bookstore. I immediately recognized these sermons as the same ones I had heard in prison. Thank you for delivering them.
Thank you. Brother, do you have the reading?
Yes, I do.
Okay, could you read, please, the rest of it, if you don't mind?
Pastor Wurmbrand? Wurmbrand. Received two other letters from different countries that contain nearly identical stories. Truly, angels have carried the sermons to others, crying out to God. It is said that Christians often leave angels unemployed because of their lack of faith. Wow. Too often, believers are content to live good lives with occasional blessings. But God longs to give us more than what is good for us. God longs to give us more than what is good for us. He longs to bring to us better things and even what is best. However, he has reserved his best blessings for those who ask in faith. Why should we ask God if he already knows our needs? We must ask in faith to demonstrate our dependence on him. Have you been content with the good things God has given you? Then ask in faith for better. Settle for nothing less than his best in your life. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, so when I read this story, I was really impressed to see how God powerfully can work in us when we are in the times of trouble, and when we really trust God, and God uses us. For example, when this pastor, he was in this cell with no sound, no light, and he just tried all his best to maintain his sanity and just preach and stay in God's word. What's your thought?
I believe the story so much because I don't know if I had a similar experience. I think I may have, not listening to or hearing. But when I heard that my father was dying, and now I think you all know that I'm a bit of an emotional mess sometimes. And when I heard that he wasn't doing well, I had a ticket booked for the 26th of November to go home. Mm-hmm. And I had to buy another ticket on the 23rd of November because he was deteriorating. So from day 40, my father was counting the days, right? But when I heard that he was deteriorating and I didn't know what to do, my brother said to me, don't do anything just yet. Just wait, come at that time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I didn't know what to do. I was cleaning my room. I was like in a state. And then like while I was cleaning, I was praying to God and I was fasting for his salvation. But at the end of the day, I used to say to God, Lord, you need to transport these messages to my father through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I used to say to him, tell my father that I love him. Tell him that I will see him again. Mm-hmm. I used to give messages to God to give to my father. And I believe with all my heart that he received those messages. Mm-hmm. By the time I went home, my father was unconscious. He had had a few renal dialysis sessions. Mm. He ate them. He went unconscious. And he was unconscious for a few days. So that by the time I went home, I thought he was dead by the time I got home. But when I got home and I put my head on his chest, well, he was in a hospital bed. Mm-hmm. The man, unconscious man, he raised his head so many times to kiss my cheek. And my family were like flabbergasted because he was unconscious. There was no response for him from him for so many days. So I can't wait to get to heaven to find out. And then I was praying for his salvation before I went home. And I did feel like God impressed and put some weight on my chest, and he said, stop praying for him, his salvation is with me now. Aww. So I do believe the story because I do believe that God communicates to people. My story is not about evangelism, you know, but I believe that God does this.
Yeah,
if you ask me, pray.
Yes, so yeah, angels, they have work to do, and they deliver the messages, and that are important to others. And Father, you said your messages to your Father, and these messages, as we can see, the result, the people were writing letters to this pastor saying that they know these stories, but because they heard them. And the questions on the bottom. Too often believers are content to live with life with occasional blessings. But God longs to give us more than what is good for us. He longs to bring us to better things and even what is best. However, he has reserved his best blessings for those who ask in faith. So do you think we be content with our lives?
I don't know about being I would say that we don't ask enough of God. God has got so much blessing to bestow upon us, and he's just waiting for us to ask. I mean, even the reading is saying that, was it Christian leaves angels unemployed through our lack of faith? Something like that. You know, I've often heard it said many times in sermons that God wants to bless us with big things, not just the little things, but he's got big blessings for us. And is it a lack of faith why we're not asking for bigger things? I'm not talking about riches or anything like that, you know. I mean, I think even with intercessory prayers, I think, you know, we need to be, I have made a list of intercessory prayers, you know, from the world to local area. You know, we're living in a time where, you know, there's so many people out there who are unsaved. And sometimes we just generalize it and says, you know, we're praying for the unsaved. But sometimes we need to be more specific. And God is just waiting for us to ask for bigger things.
Yeah.
Because there's more blessings for us.
It's true, yeah. I think sometimes we are very general and abstract when we're praying. And if you ask something more precise, the faith, I think you would be blessed more. Well, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Go on, Noini.
No, I was going to say, I think we still have to learn how to pray. I know there's a Lord's Prayer, but when and type of prayer, well, the focus prayer more important than, there's a time and a season, you know, somebody is sick, you pray for that sickness. For the Holy Spirit, you want to teach, you pray God. A good news, and that's what we have to claim the Holy Spirit upon us for, to share good news. I don't know, there's various thoughts I learned somewhere.
Yeah.
Think right as well. Somewhere we can pray for 10 things at the same time, which is probably not at the appropriate time.
Yeah, well, I guess when we pray, we have to pray in faith, in that faith that it would bring goodness for God and His kingdom. Sometimes I think we are very like flashy what we're asking for. Oh, I might be wrong, but because the most important thing here is God and His kingdom. That's why we're here. To represent the God's right character. He knows our needs, like he says, why should we ask God if he already knows our needs? We must ask in faith to demonstrate our dependence on him.
That's right.
Yeah. So these are the thoughts. And there's a Bible verse in James 4, verse 2. It says, you do not have because you do not ask God.
That's it, yeah.
So why don't you ask God?
But you know, I'm also thinking of another, there's another verse that says, you do not have because you ask amiss.
Yes.
So you have to know what to ask. And you can only know what to ask if you pray about your prayers.
True.
And about your prayer.
Yeah.
You know, like in that time when I sent those messages to God for my father, I was fasting and praying. You know. So I do believe the Holy Spirit like sort of understood and knew. And in essence, I had a bit of a rocky relationship with my dad. So, you know, to then get to that point where you're going to lose him, and he was dying, like he was 74 when he died. But the Holy Spirit knows and understands. So that was about my family. But there are so many more prayers that God wants us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to know. So sometimes we really have to ask God, Lord, show me what to pray for. You know, teach me what I should be praying for and how to pray it.
Yeah, it's very important to be connected to God. You know, sometimes when we pray just routine prayer, I don't think it's working. So that's why it says, pray with faith, the Holy Spirit. Like you said, rather.
You get that, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Finished, Radha?
Yes.
I just want to come back to one of our sisters who talked about intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. And I agree entirely with you, but I just want us to, I want to support that with a Bible verse with regards to what God tells us about praying. And it is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So therefore, for me, I take courage sometimes when I'm praying and I don't even know what I'm praying, but I would pray anyhow. You see, because it is Satan that we put in our heads that we do not know how to pray, that God doesn't hear us. But here is very clear. God himself says, we do not know what we ought to pray. But in that verse, he did not say, because you don't know what you ought to pray, I'm not going to hear you. Far from it. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So personally for me, I find great courage to come to God anyhow in prayer, as far as my heart is yearning for him to know what I want to, not only for myself. And when you said we need to pray for everybody, absolutely so. Every child, Hindu, Muslim, whoever they are, because that's a commission, for God says he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to everlasting life.
Yeah.
So I think we need to have, personally, my view, we need to have confidence when we come to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. However we pray, because we all have different approach to prayer. But fact of the matter, approach is not the issue. Praying is the issue. Because Satan would have us read the Bible and sings all many, many, many hymns, but when we pray, he trembles.
Yes.
He'll also try his utmost for us not to pray, because you know why? Elsewhere in the Bible, God says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise turn away. That's a promise. And our God doesn't lie.
And another thing is, when we're praying, We it's important to invite the Holy Spirit's presence. So important.
Yeah, but let me just add another point. You're absolutely right. for me, when I read that verse that I've just written, so if the Spirit himself intercedes for us, that means each time we are praying, whether we are just talking, whether we are formally on our knees, that means all the time when we are praying, the Holy Spirit is by our side, ready to intercede. You see, so that for me again is very encouraging, that no prayer is amiss.
That's right. And you know, what should strengthen our prayer life as well is answered prayers. We see and we've experienced God answering our prayers, and that should give us great strength and increase our faith, to strengthen our faith, to widen our prayer life.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if I have time, but I just wanted to relate a small experience. So at a stage in my life, my brain wasn't working for like weeks. And I was so devastated, and I'm sure some of you would know, that I didn't know my left arm from my right arm. I didn't know what was happening in life. And there was a friend, a brother in Christ, who used to call me, and I used to just say, just pray. And, you know, he made me start remembering this person and their needs and that person. I did not know how to do anything. My brain was not working. And he just said, pray for this person, they have that need. Pray for that person, they have that. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? I can't handle any information in my head right now. But I used to pray, and I didn't know what to pray for. I would say, pray for this brother, and he would say what the need was. Pray for that sister, whoever he mentioned, and I would pray for that person, and he would add in the prayer what the need was. Do you know what I mean? Because I couldn't retain information. And that was God's way of getting my brain out of myself and my situation. And you know what? The more I started praying about other people, the more my brain started resetting. So there is real, real, real power in intercessory prayer. Sometimes you don't know the people, but you're praying for them, and God is blessing you because that's how he works. You know, the mystery of the gospel that Noelia speaks about. That's one of the mysteries. You're praying for other people, and he's taking care of your needs. You know?
That's true, yeah. When you pray for others, God takes care of your needs without praying to them. He knows what we need. By praying to others, we also meet our needs.
You know, sometimes when I'm in the community, I whether I'm on the bus, whether it's on the bus, the train, or walking, or even in shop, and I just pray for people, especially when I see young children smoking. As I'm walking past, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for, you know, there's always someone to be praying for. They're out there, you know, just put them at the, you know, Lord, give them the knowledge and understanding that they need. You know, there's all we shouldn't be short of prayers.
So that season, yes. You know, that is very blessing. I had this similar thing, my sister Jenny, all along.
Praying is very important, and also is very important to talk about answered prayers, as we can see here. And those two men, they witnessed how they heard the sermons from him, and it encourages us also and teaches us how God works and his ways to work. And so sometimes when God answers prayers, we just say thank you and that's it. But as we can see, the witnessing is really a powerful thing. And by this man who wrote letters to this man, now this witnessing came to us. So it's like a chain that helps us to grow in God.
And then also that Bible verse, is it a Bible verse that I'm thinking of? That we're not here for no reason. God has put us here to be the salt of the earth and the and the light in this that represents His light in this earth. So we are not here for no reason. And any little prayer is being used. But I guess we should all be aware that we can pray more.
Yes, I think it has to be also an individual thing. A group and an individual thing.
But I must say, Noeli, that the group prayers really help.
Yeah.
Personally.
Me too.
When I think of my faith, I mean my calling, I was on the social work course, and a lady who was on the course who introduced me to the Seventh-day Adventist faith, she prayed for me, and I didn't know she was praying for me. She prayed for me. And when she invited me to a crusade, I accepted, and I've never turned back since. So, like how she prayed for me, so I pray for others, and I've brought others to Christ. Not all of us were born in the faith, and, you know, we're here to introduce Christ to others, to the lost, so that they too can be saved.
Thank you. So this is what I wanted to talk today, and I'll leave the other text for next time.
Oh, can I just say, this pastor, you know, he was blessed with a powerful gift of memory to be able to memorize all those sermons. That, you know, was a, you know,
composed them. Yeah.
And blessed him with gift. Yeah.
I was thinking also, Virginia, about Pavel Goya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his testimonies and similar things. Why not, you know, of how he prays and gets things in the struggle.
This pastor, this Romanian pastor, he went through many, like 14 years of torturing.
Mm.
Like I was reading and I was shocked how strong the faith has to be. I would like to read what he was writing. So, during his imprisonment, he was beaten and tortured. Physical torture included mutilation, burning, and being locked in a large frozen ice box. His body bore the scars of physical torture for the rest of his life. For example, he later recounted having the soles of his feet beaten until the flesh was torn off. Then the next day beaten again to the bone, claiming there were not words to describe the pain. So, and also he was saying that the faith is not faith if we lose it while we're tortured, while we are in a
I mean, it's good we have all the example of people
how
they went through. The same like with the Chinese pastor. This pastor is talking about Wong Brun.
That's hopeful.
Goya, many, you know. Even like, I remember I was listening to one last one. To this pastor who preached, was in Romania, another one. But his faith was different. He wasn't tortured and all these things. But the church he had was an horrible church. It was an Adventist church, but was like set in their ways. And he was saying, they had this elder who was like, do as I say and full stop. And he was tall and stroppy like man. And everybody was frightened of it. And when he went for the first time, he saw the church the way it was, and he thought, us could do something. And he straight away told him, no, can't do this, that. But he prayed. And he went around to start going around the neighborhood, just give magazine and things. It was amazing how many people wanted to do it, but they were prevented. It was forever in Loga Hedwigan, and still one day, the same elder had an heart attack. He thought he was going to die. So he went to the hospital, and nobody went to see him, because he, you know, so the pastor went. People told him not to go, but he went and prayed with him. And for the first time, they said, they were crying and crying and said, I knew nobody will come because I am so horrible. I tried to run the church, but, you know, like all the difficulties to get church members to forgive. So that's like faith also, because that's not an easy task, to get people to forgive and church members to reconcile. Anyway, some of the church members eventually went to see him. Like on a week after that, he died. So at least he brought some kind of reconciliation and peace for the members as well. Because otherwise, I don't know how they would have felt for his death.
Mm. Yeah.
So, sometimes faith for difficult situations, not torture or anything, but I guess it's kind of some sort of emotional torture. So, yeah.